reading of God's Word. I want to read one verse, and then I'll let you know what's going on around this verse and the context of it and draw some thoughts from it. I always tell you on Wednesday nights, I try to just let the Lord lead us. I try not to preach a series anymore on Wednesday night and just give something that God's people need in the middle of the week. In many cases, it's just simple, something that'll just challenge us to go through. I had three things as yesterday and today, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, has developed that was on my heart. I could not zero in on one until earlier today. And so I'm going to land on this. We'll get to the other ones as the year closes and even the new year begins. But look with me, if you would, in verse number 17. Look at it carefully. Colossians chapter 3 in verse 17, the Bible says, "And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." What a wonderful verse of Scripture. And so for a little while tonight, I just want to speak to you on this simple thought: God's standard for service. God's standard for service. I'm grateful that you stood. You may be seated. There was a factory manager who found that productivity was being hampered by the tardiness of his employees returning from their lunch hour. When the whistle would blow, nobody was back at their machine and ready to work. So he posted a sign by the suggestion box, and he offered a cash award for the best answer to this question. Here's the question: what should we do to ensure that every man will be inside the factory when the whistle blows? There were many suggestions that were given. Many of them were good. And the suggestion that was actually selected solved the problem. But it was not his favorite suggestion, because the one that he liked the most was one that he could not use for a few reasons. And this was what it was. The suggestion was this: let the last man in blow the whistle. Let the last man in blow the whistle. We think about this matter of serving God and the standard by which our service to God should actually be. I wonder tonight, of all of us that are here, when it came to the service of God, would you be the last one in to blow the whistle? Would you be tardy to the service of God? Or would you be already back at your appointed place serving the Lord when it was time to be able to do so? Now, I'm not even going to try to stand here and suggest that we are living in an American culture and a society today that has a good work ethic. I wonder how these people are surviving that are marching through the streets and doing all of these things in the middle of the day, in the middle of the night. I have some thoughts as to how they're surviving, but there's just not much of a work ethic in our day anymore in the American culture. And beyond just a work ethic, just the service to the company that we are supposed to be providing. But even with that said, even though there's not much to say about the work ethic of the average American anymore, of this generation at least, there is yet still a standard that companies hold people by that you had better lift up and hold to. Otherwise, you're not going to be employed by that company. If you want to be utilized and if you want to be employed by that organization, there are some standards by which you're going to have to operate by. You're going to have to show up on time. People are not going to let you stay in your job if you do not show up on time. You are going to have to perform in a satisfactory way, in a way that is not going to do damage to the actual productivity, as this manager was talking about, for the company. You're going to have to conduct yourself in a way that is reputable so that you do not hurt the reputation of the organization by which you are working for. There are some standards that every company sets out and that you are going to be required to abide by if you're going to affiliate yourself with that company. I would say that the one profession or the one organization that there is no true standard that can be firmly enforced consistently would be that of the local church, that of the service of God, those folks that are volunteers for the service of the Lord. My former pastor used to put it this way, and maybe you've heard it before. We're trying to win the world with a voluntary army. And it's a challenge sometimes to get everybody to perform up to a standard of serving God and the standard that God should requires and should expect from those of us that are working for Him in His service. You see, Paul right here is writing, of course, to the believers at Corinth. And in his letter that he is writing, he is teaching them about holy living. When you go back into the earlier verses of the chapter, you are learning that Paul is trying to teach the believers how to be a Christian. He's trying to teach them how to serve the Lord. He goes on and he lets them know that they need to conduct themselves, and he's encouraging them to live in humility, to live in love, and in all other forms of spiritual duty that God has given to all of His people. Now, in his own way, what Paul is actually laying out to the believers at Colossae right here is he is letting them know that God has a standard by which their service should come up to. It should not be what your thoughts are or anybody else's thoughts are, but it should be measured by what God says the standard of service should be. Three simple things that I want you to get, and if you have a place, write them down in your Bible. Simple little truths that I pray that God will use to try to help us tonight in this midweek service as we continue to serve God. Come parade time on Saturday night, come Christmas program time on Sunday, and then as the days continue to go, come the jail and prison time on Monday and Tuesday, that God will light a fire in our soul about the standard of service. Think first of all with me about the totality of our service. We could even say it this way, the totality of God's standard for our service. When you look in verse number 17, you see the Bible says, "And whatsoever ye do in word or deed," look at this, he says, "do all." Now, there's a lot that is packed in just those, six or seven words of that portion of the verse that I just read. Let me read it again, and I want you to look at it. "And whatsoever ye do in word or deed," say it, "do all." Do all, every bit of it. I think sometimes we get the idea that we are going to do a little bit of this, and we're going to say a little bit of that, but we really don't have the intention and we don't execute it in a way that we are doing it all to the very, very best of our human ability. We're not doing everything we can. We're not putting all of our hearts into it. We're not making every effort that we could be the very best that we could for the Lord. And in our society today, we were just talking about American society, but in our society today, subpar has become acceptable. Subpar has become normal. That's not just the case in the work industries of our day, just in society in general, but folks, I'm telling you, that attitude has crept into the church. If you talk to pastors anywhere across this nation, if you talk to leaders of churches, if you talk to leaders even of just Christian organizations, and they may not even be churches that are trying to do something good for God, you are finding a subpar attitude. Why has that become the case? Why are we satisfied with that? Why should anybody accept subpar when it comes to the service of God? I'm not telling you that if you work at McDonald's that you should not fix those hamburgers to the best of your ability. If you work in the factory, I'm not telling you that you shouldn't do it to the best of your ability. If you work in the office, I'm not telling you that you should not do it to the best of your ability. If you mow yards for a living, I'm not telling you that you should not do it to the best of your ability. But what I will say to you tonight is that you should treat the service of God and put it on a higher level even than any of those other areas that you are working in. You say, "Well, my goodness, Pastor, those other things is what pays my bills. I don't get paid to teach Sunday school. I don't get paid to be a deacon. I don't get paid to do this or do that or decorate the church or to play the piano or whatever you might do. You say, I don't get paid for it. It doesn't matter. Our payday is not going to be down here. God is watching everything that we do. One day when we stand on the other side, you need to know that subpar is not going to meet the standard of God. God expects us to operate ourselves according to His standard, and He says right here that the totality of that is what is required. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, He says, do all. He says, do all. So are you satisfied with just being normal in your Christian service? Is you okay with that? Are you satisfied with just that subpar attitude and that subpar approach? I was joking with everybody Sunday night when I was preaching and I was talking about my girls. And you remember we were talking about on Saturdays and how that they are not happy sometimes when we have to stay home. It's a rare thing that we have nothing going on a Saturday, and that's why that we have such a vast task on the Saturdays that we are home, you know, to get everything done, the clothes washed, the yards done, the inside of the house clean and organized and all that kind of thing. But it's a vast thing, and they really do not like it because they know that they're going to be tied up doing all these different things. And those of you that have children or teenagers or whatever, I bet you're are the exact same way. But we do. We have a constant conversation about it. But here's why. It is simply because I am trying to instill within my children a work ethic and understanding that there are things that have to be done and you are going to one day be responsible for them. Mom and dad may be able to do things for you to a certain degree, but there's only so much that we're going to be able to do for you. One day you're going to be out on your own and you need to know how to do some things and you need to be motivated in doing some things. You need to have that work ethic. And he was talking here about the totality of God's standard in our service. And he says everything, it doesn't matter what it is, everything that you do. If you reach down and pick up a piece of paper while walking down the aisle of the church just to clean it up, you ought to do it to the very best of your ability. The Bible tells us that whatsoever our hand findeth to do, do it with what? All your might. We are to do our very best with it. We should not do a better job at our work or at our home or at our recreation than we do in the service of God. The totality of God's standard in our service. But notice secondly, not only the totality of our service, but think with me as well about the target of our service. We look further in verse number 17. The Bible says, and whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the what? Name of the Lord Jesus. Now we just established the totality. There are no limitations to the degree by which we are to do our best in the service of God. In everything in the service of God. But why are we to do our best in total of everything that we do for God? The reason is simply because we are to do it for the Lord. We are to do it to honor God. Our Lord is letting us know that it does not matter what we say or what we do. It is our obligation to say and to do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Or for the purpose, put it this way, of glorifying God. For the purpose of furthering the kingdom and the work of God. No matter what it is that comes up, the purpose in serving God is to bring glory to His name. The purpose in serving God is to further, to enlarge the kingdom of God, that other people may know Christ. You were born to serve the Lord. Did you know that? I'm glad you can make money, but you were not born to make money. I'm glad that you can hit a baseball, but you were not born to play sports. I'm glad that you can do this. I'm glad that you can do that. I'm glad that you can do whatever it is, but you were born to serve God. Whenever we really get it in our hearts that all of these other things are just secondary to our primary purpose in life, then you see the pendulum will turn to what really matters. We won't complain about serving God anymore. We won't have near the issue about living up to God's standard in service or anything else anymore, because we realize that we are here solely to serve God, to bring glory to His name, and to further the work of God. It's interesting here because Paul does not tell us what we should say, what we should do. He does not tell us what we should not say or what we should not do. Do you know that? Did you notice that? It simply is letting us know that whatever we say and whatever we do, it must be done according to the standard of God. He's not saying this or that. He is saying the totality of everything that you do ought to be done according to the standard of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when we talk about the standard of the Lord Jesus Christ, when it comes to our service to the Lord, you look at who He is, and you look at who we are, and it gets a little intimidating. I've told you before that God expects a lot out of you. God expects a lot out of me. Can I ask, why shouldn't He expect a lot out of us? Anybody that was willing to give his life for you deserves your everything. I'm talking about everything. People complain from time to time. You may not hear it. Well, you probably have, but I assure you, I've heard it sometimes about having to give God 10%. It would have been fair if God would have said, give me 90% and you live on 10. It would have been fair if God would have said, give me all 100%. I died for you. I've been good to you. I've been merciful to you. I've spared you from an eternal hell. How dare you, the Lord would say, complain about me requiring 10% that the gospel can go forward in communities and across the world all over. It is reasonable for the Lord to have a standard when it comes to our service. You know, if God said, I am requiring you to come to church 3 times a week, to read your Bible daily, to pray daily, and every other thing, be it whatever type of service, I'm requiring you to do it, and here's what I want you to do, child of God. The Lord says, I want you to double what you're currently doing. Now, in some cases, some of us in America today, Christians, professing Christians, 0 times 0 would still equal 0. Okay, but if the Lord said, I want you to double what you're doing for God, would that be unreasonable? It wouldn't be unreasonable. The totality of our service is to be done because the target of our service is to please God in every way. It's to honor God, to further the work of God. So how do you live up to the standard of God? Remember I told you a minute ago, it's intimidating when you think about who He is and who we are and that we are the ambassadors for Him to do a work, pay a debt that we can never repay. How do we live up to this standard? Well, it is just simply meaning that we are to say or we are to do it to the very best of our human ability. McKenna was singing a song Sunday morning, and one of my favorite lines in that song, Grace, Brother Joel, is knowing that someone somewhere out there can do a better job. Every time I hear that and I sing it in my mind, I think about it all the time. I think about what I'm trying to do. How many people out there could do such a better job? Why in the world would God give me this responsibility to to pastor this great church, to try my best and have the privilege to serve him. Why would the Lord do that in my case? There's a million other guys and families out there that could do a better job. All God wants us to do is to do the very best of our human ability. He does not want us to cut corners. Back when I was in business, we ordered some ink pens. You know, pens, and they have the slogan on them. You know, we've got some that has our church name and address. And we had some business ones, and we were in a maintenance company. And part of what we did was a cleaning, janitorial cleaning. And on it, it said the name of our company. And then right below it, it had the information. Then right below that, it said, "We don't cut corners, we clean them." Great slogan, right? Isn't it the truth that sometimes we as believers, we just love to cut corners? I mean, we just don't care. We're gonna try to get done quicker, the best of our ability. We're gonna try to go and try to slack on this and slack on that, just simply to cut corners, because in our minds it is just a grudge to serve God. I mean, we just struggle with it. Our attitudes just aren't right about it. Folks, we're not doing it to the very best of our human ability when we have that type of attitude. I'm telling you that the Lord expects even us to have a meticulous approach in it. When we are given a task to do for the Lord, we ought to sit and we ought to evaluate that task. We ought to see it and we ought to say, "My goodness, I can do it better this way. I can do it better that way." We ought to study it and in a meticulous way approach it as if Christ himself was the one who is listening to what we said. As if he was the one that was watching what we were doing. As if he was the one who was compensating us for what we were saying and what we were doing. And here's the thing, he is doing all three. He is listening to every word of your mouth. He is listening to every murmur of your heart. He is watching every action and every deed that you are doing. And I'm telling you, there is going to be a payday, a compensation day on the other side. And those that have done all whatsoever, done with word, done with deed, to the very best of their human ability with a pure heart, there's going to come a day when the paycheck hits the bank on the other side, and you're going to have rewards. There's going to be a whole lot of those rewards that are going to burn up. A whole lot of things that we're not going to have because our attitude wasn't right. Our words weren't right. Our deeds weren't right in it. We're not going to receive near the compensation that we thought that we probably deserved because we did not do it with the right attitude. We did not measure up to God's standard of service. Now, you need to understand, ladies and gentlemen, that this is something that you and I are to do for the Lord. Any form of service, it is to be done for the Lord. We do not do our service to please the preacher. It's wonderful to be a blessing to somebody else, but you do not do it to please the preacher. You do not sing in the choir or the youth choir or the children's choir or work in the with the children's program to please mom and dad. We do not do it to get our name in the bulletin or to get called up on the platform and get presented with a gift. That's not why that we do it. We don't do it so somebody will gain some form of recognition and mention our name out there to the rest of the church, and that the world out there listening live will be able to hear, "You did this and you did that." No. That's not why we do it. We do it, as the Bible tells us, for the name and the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you say or do something at work, when you say or do something at home, maybe activity, or maybe even in some form of a relationship, can you honestly say, that you are doing it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the glory of God, and even for the furtherance of His great work? Can you say that what you've done today at work or what you've done at home was done in a way that Jesus would be happy with? Now, it's true that we are talking here about the service of God. Ladies and gentlemen, the service of God is not just on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night at church. The work of God and the service of God is to be done down at the plant. It's to be done at the office. It's to be done in the schoolhouse. It's to be done in the shopping centers. Serving God is a 24/7, no matter what we are doing. We are to do, the Bible says, all, everything. He doesn't say, serve me in word and deed. Yeah, that's included. He says, do everything, all of what you do. And I tell you, when you stop and think about that, and you begin to evaluate why my life is so in such a wreck and maybe a mess, and why that I'm just not seeing God's blessings fall on my life, maybe the way that it is somebody else's. The fact of the matter is, we are not doing all and saying all in the name of the Lord Jesus. God's not honored with that. We are not rising to God's standard of service. Now, if you can say that everything you've done today, be it at work, school, or even in the ministry of God, the service of God, if you can say that it's all been said and done in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's wonderful. I salute you for it. But if you cannot say that tonight, and you look back and you evaluate your day and your week, and if you cannot say that, you need to understand, you've missed the mark. And whatever you've done, though it may have been good deeds, you've done something wrong. Because you didn't hit the target in its totality. So there is the totality of God's standard of our service. There is the target of God's standard for our service. But don't you see the third one? There is the thanksgiving of our service. The thanksgiving of God's standard for our service. Now look in your Bible, again verse number 17. He says, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. See those first couple words I read? Giving thanks. Serving the Lord is rarely easy. It's rarely easy. Not so long ago, I guess we can say, in the process of trying to teach my daughter how to drive. So much to say there. And so we came home one day, and I said, so what's the homework situation? And she told me it wasn't much, and I said, okay. I said, here's what I want you to do. I said, for about the next 15, 20 minutes right here in the driveway, I just want you to back up. I want you to turn the car around. I want you to maneuver around, you know, so you can get the feel of things a little bit better. And look, don't hit the basketball goal. Please don't hit the house. And all these other things. And I got out of the car and I went to the mailbox to check the mail. And I came back. And while I was walking back, she was getting situated, and getting ready to do that. And the thought hit me. I'm going to put some obstacles in the driveway. Keep her eyes on, you know, to watch it. So I rolled the big rolling trash can, you know, like some of these we've got out here. I rolled the big rolling trash can right out there. And then I put some other little buckets and sort of things, I think that were Mia's in the garage, I don't know. And I set them around. I said, don't hit these either, and you need to maneuver around them. And here was her response. Daddy, that's going to be hard. And I told her that day, I said, rarely is anything in life really easy. The easy way is rarely the right way. Did you know that? Usually the hard way, usually is the right way. And so when we evaluate something, we do not determine whether we're going to do it or not based on how easy it's going to be. You determine whether you do it or not based on what is right. You see, the service of God, saying and doing all, in the name of the Lord Jesus in a way that brings Him glory, in a way that we do the very best to our human ability, it is rarely an easy thing. But I can't tell you what a privilege it is. Anybody here that has ever labored for the Lord, you've pillowed your head at night with a sense of accomplishment because you knew that you did something that mattered for eternity. It is an absolute privilege to think that a heavenly work could be done by such an unqualified, such an unworthy earthly wretch. Why would God call on you and give you an opportunity to do something? You know who you are. If it's crawling up under the building, get that possum, Richie. Why would God let you do it? I was looking that night for somebody else to do it. God gives somebody else this privilege. He didn't. But you've got to approach it that no matter how hard it is, no matter how dark it is, no matter how bad it stinks, it's yet a privilege to do the work of God. An unqualified, an unworthy wretch as I, to have the opportunity to serve a most holy God, why would that not thrill our hearts and thrill our souls? Again, no matter how dirty the work may be, how detailed the work may be, and even to a degree how disliked the form of service of that work may be for the Lord, we ought to thank God that He's giving us. Thank God that He did it. Give it to somebody else. But He counted us worthy to be able to crawl up under the building, to be able to go and put out decorations, to be able to go to the workhouse and promote a Christian life to a lost world, or any and every other thing that you can imagine. You ought to thank God that He's given you the ability, the time, and the health to walk a parade. And you ought to be the first one in line, if at all possible, to be able to do it. You ought to thank God that you have an opportunity to pass out a gospel tract to somebody, because God is giving you the chance to help see somebody else come to know Christ. You see, there is the totality of our service, God's standard of it, the target of it. Everything we do, we ought to consider, I'm not doing this to please the preacher, mom and dad, my children, my friends, or anybody else. I'm doing it to please God. And I'm not going to do a halfway job, a subpar job at any of these things. I'm going to do my best. And I'm going to thank God for the privilege that He gave me a chance to serve Him when somebody else could have had that opportunity. He gave me the opportunity because one day now I have that chance to receive the reward for doing the dirty, the detailed, the difficult, the disliked work that my flesh may not want to do. So the next time we feel like throwing our hands up and complaining about how tough and how tiring the service of God may be, or the serving the Lord even in any of these other places, I think maybe the best thing that we ought to do is just fall on our unworthy faces before the Lord and thank God that He gave me a chance to live another day, to see another sunrise, and to go out and do everything I could to touch this world for the glory of God. To touch this world that the rest of the world may have a better opportunity to hear of Christ and to be saved. Let me ask you tonight, and I'm finished. When was the last time that you just simply met God's standard of worship in the totality of it, or service in the totality of it. And not just the totality of it, but also the target of it. You did it for Christ. But really, when was the last time that you just bowed the knee, bowed the head if you're not physically able, and you said, Lord, thank you for giving me the ability to go to a job to tell others about you at. Thank you for letting me pass out the tracts at the store. Lord, thank you for letting me sing in the choir. Thank you, Lord, for letting me work outside at the church, inside at the church. Thank you for letting me work in the office. Thank you for letting me do this, letting me even come to the house of God to worship you. Lord, thank you for the privilege of serving. God's standard of service. Let's stand to our feet.